Well, I'm Bruce Argyle. You've joined us again this morning for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. If you're a regular listener, I hope you're tracking well through this beautiful autumn period here in the Yarra Valley. And if you're a first-time listener, David, I know you're out there this morning. It's great to catch up with you Saturday night, and looking forward to having you on the program when you've got those ideas for your website all sorted out. That'll be fantastic. And, well, next week, before we talk about this week, next week we have a special program with Nicole Slingsby talking about wills and trusts and estates. So if you know someone who would find that interesting, then give them a nudge for next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. I went to the Comedy Festival last week, which was a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've gone there, and it was opening night, 3,000 people. What a great program. Really enjoyed it. And then on the back of that, I actually got runner-up in the humorous speech competition here for Toastmasters in the division final last weekend. And so I was very proud of myself or something. But enough of that, because we have things to share. We have someone to talk to via Zoom all the way from, well, from Beechworth, Megan Buntine. Megan, you travelled all day yesterday, but you're sitting there. You look like you're very clear to see, and I'm hoping that I can hear you.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you can see me, and hopefully you can hear me. Yeah, it's lovely up here in the northeast of Victoria. We're getting a little bit of drizzle. It sounds like the weather down there is a little bit nicer, so hopefully it finds up here today.
Yes, and really appreciate you making the effort, Megan, to stay on air this morning despite travelling north, and because we've got some very important things we want to share with you listeners this morning. And Megan and I were talking, there's so much happening around the place at the moment. Lots of people trying to squeeze things in before Easter. I'm sure you're one of those. I know I'm trying to do a few things before Easter. And a lot of organisations running around doing lots of things, getting organised for 2022, even though we've slipped into the fourth month already. Megan, that's hard to believe, isn't it? We're into April.
I know, how crazy is it? It's sort of like the last 2 years felt like about 10 years, and this year, the first 3 months has felt like about a month.
Every time I talk to people and you know, you have this conversation about when such and such happened, you've got to add 2 years onto your memory, don't you, basically?
Yeah, it's funny like that, isn't it?
Yes, so, but look, listeners, this morning we're going to go back to basics, shall we say. We're going to talk about purpose and we're going to talk about strategy. But let's focus on purpose first of all. And when I say that word, what immediately comes to your mind? Because are you a person who is very purposeful? Are you a driven person? Do you have plans? Are you someone who thinks very clearly about what your purpose is, and whether it's your workplace or your home or your interests? Megan, what comes to your mind when you hear the word purpose?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I wrote a blog recently about this, and for me, it all comes back. When I thought about it, it all comes back to people. It's all about how can I guess, deploy the whatever strengths or skills or values I've got to support people and help them with the challenges that they've got, or, you know, share the knowledge and the information that I've collected along the way to enable them to sort of gear up what they're doing, I guess.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the adjectives, the words that go with purpose, Megan, and the ones that came to my mind were driven, you know, driven to make a difference, and passion, an element of passion, or perhaps focus would be another word that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think that idea of passion, you know, when passion and purpose intersect, that's where the magic happens. I think that's where, you know, you can do amazing things, and, you know, you can feel like you're working really hard, but it just seems to flow, and it doesn't feel like hard work. So you can be doing lots of work around your purpose and your passion, and it's almost like it energises you rather than depletes you.
Yes. What's the old proverb? Happy is the person who makes his hobby his work. You know, who actually does the things that they really want to do. But I was thinking, Megan, being driven, having passion, being focused, perhaps having intent. And of course, we're talking here about our own lives. We're talking about our family, our workplace, our community organisation. We're going to focus on not-for-profits and community organisations, but purpose goes across every aspect of our life, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've really got to, well, this is my experience, but anyway, you know, once you find your purpose in life, it can, we think about the challenges that people, particularly at the moment, people are experiencing a lot around mental health issues and things like that. And I think that if you've got a sense of purpose, that can actually help with some of that stuff. It can give you something to focus on that's meaningful, that can help boost your mental health. And other aspects of your life as well. So I think if you're fortunate enough to be able to find some purpose in your life, if you don't quite have it yet, I know that you know, oftentimes there's moments where we sort of question our purpose. But if you can focus back on what it is, or maybe you've achieved your purpose, and it's like you're having to find a new purpose in life. So whatever you can find that sort of drives you forward and fulfills you and makes you feel good about life, I think that's really important for our mental health.
And you've joined me, Bruce Argyle, for our Thursday morning Community Conversations program. Thanks for your company this morning. We're talking purpose and strategy. Well, we're talking purpose, and we've already identified that it's closely akin to passion and focus and being driven. And I suppose, Megan, it's also about not losing your way and not getting distracted. That's been pretty difficult the last couple of years. It's impacted on the purposes that many of us have had, either individually or with our organisations, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think that's possibly what's contributing to the mental health crisis that we're seeing is, you know, we're all being stuck at home, not in so many ways, not able to follow those purposes and those passions that we have. I mean, some of it we found ways to do it still, but it's still very restricting. And I think that's, you know, what I was saying before about having a purpose can help with mental health. And I think that obviously being not able to deliver on that purpose can obviously have negative connotations around that too. So.
Mm. And does that then affect the levels of commitment or connectedness for volunteers and staff with organisations, Megan? I know you're doing quite a bit of work around volunteers as well at the moment.
Yeah, so it's interesting, the volunteer space, isn't it? I think it's worth flagging with people too that the Volunteering Australia is currently in the process of working towards a national strategy for volunteering, because it's recognised that levels of volunteering across the country are on the decline. I mean, they're declining around the world. Australia's still got some of the highest levels of volunteering in the world, but ours are declining too. So we need to think strategically and come up with some plans as to how we can stop that and hopefully reverse some of that and get people re-engaged, re-enthused in volunteering. And I think it's a different conversation for younger people. You know, what's in it for them? How do we connect with them? How do we inspire them to participate in volunteering, whether it's about the, you know, work experience perhaps that it gives them, work skills, whether it, you know, looks good on a CV, a whole range of reasons that we can look to. So I think it's worth having a look at the Volunteering Australia website and looking at, they're up to the community consultations now. So it's an open consultation. They're inviting anyone from across the country to put in their two bob's worth. The idea is that the whole, they call it the volunteering ecosystem, which I think is an interesting term, but it's recognising, you know, all of us who contribute in some way to the volunteering space have something to add. And equally then what comes out the end of it when they've done the consultations and they've identified the strategies that will give us a big bang for our buck and put that into a bit of a plan, then it's a plan for all of us going ahead. Mm. So it gives us some direction and some inspiration and maybe back to that sense of purpose of why volunteering is so important and why we want to engage other people in our purposes so that we can continue to deliver the value, whatever it is that we add value to our communities through the work that we do with our organisations and their purposes.
Mm. Megan, neither of us pretend to be psychologists, but when we talk about purpose, like we're going back to 101, where do people go to get the nudge or to help work through just what their purpose, I'm talking as individuals now, you know, to get to establish, you know, what do they want for their life's purpose or their, you know, their career or, you know, who are the best people to talk to about these things?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've led a number of sessions where we do vision boarding, and I don't know if you've heard of vision boarding, but basically it's a creative process. We sit around, we actually use magazines and go through all sorts of different magazines, just cut pictures out, random pictures that appeal to us, and we stick them on a big piece of cardboard, and it's about creating, you know, the things that we want to have in our life, that vision for what our life is. I mean, I bang on about vision for organisation. It's the same idea, but doing it on a personal level. And, you know, it's funny, we do all this visioning and mission and values and planning and so forth for organisations, but so few of us, I think, do it for ourselves in our own personal life. So I think the more people who tap into that creativity and tap into that finding their passion, the more, I guess, satisfying life becomes if you can then create the vision of what you want your life to look like, what you want to have in your life, and then it gives you some starting points about, well, okay, if I want to have, you know, be able to
have some impact or
if I want to go away traveling for 3 months of the year, then how do I make that happen? How do I sort of create that reality for myself? You know, how do I weave work into that equation and what things need to be in place.
What do I enjoy and you know, what gives me motivation and what am I good at?
What are you good at? What are your strengths? What makes your heart sing? All those sort of things that give you that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. How can you bring more of that into your life? So having a process like that where you try and think a bit creatively, get out of your head a bit, and get some stuff down on paper. Pictorial representations are really good. I mean, if you're good at drawing, you can do graphic representations, but I'm not good at drawing, so I just magazines.
We'll leave that to Danny Zemp, the amazing cartoon man in Healesville. And Danny, if you're listening, we just love your work. Megan, though, talking about when it comes to organisations, it's equally important, you've already flagged that, for organisations to identify, you know, why do we exist? What are we here for? What is our purpose? Why did we establish this entity in the first place?
Exactly.
Do we lose track of that sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think if we can go back to basics about, and as you say, that starting that question, you know, X organisation X exists to ... and then fill in the blank. If you can come up with that, say it in a sentence, then that's your purpose. That's what you're there for. I think it's important to realise too that if you're an incorporated association, your statement of purpose that fits within your rules is actually what your purpose. You need to go back to that all the time, because that's legally binding once it's in your rules. That's not to say that over time your purpose might shift, things might change, you want to update that, you can certainly go and do that, but you need to make sure that what you're doing on the ground is consistent with that statement of purposes in your rules. So, yeah, either make your rules match your practice or your practice match your rules.
And you're with Bruce Argyle on Community Conversations with my very special guest, Megan Buntine. Megan is travelling in northern Victoria, I think currently in Beechworth, Megan. And for people who would like to contact Megan, you don't have to worry about waiting for her to return home, because you can send her an email, and you can do that, megan@mjbconsulting.net.au. Or if you want to know more about what she can offer you, your group, your not-for-profit organisation, your community group, have a look at the website, which is just www.mjbconsulting.net.au. All sorts of amazing resources there, free takeaways and all of that. Megan, I don't know how you keep all that information together on your website, but well done.
I've got a very good web developer that Bell Tendy has recently.
She is amazing.
She's a good woman.
She absolutely is. And if you're listening this morning, Bell, hope everything's going well in Mallacoota. I'm looking forward to getting down there one of these days sometime soon. Look, before that, of course, we've got Easter coming up next week, and if you've got little kids, if you've got either young children or grandchildren, you'll want to get them to the Waratina Lavender Farm for their Easter egg hunt, which is on Saturday morning, the 16th of April, and Sunday morning, the 17th of April, or in the afternoon. So there's two sessions each day. And Look, I won't give you all the details now because you can go onto their website, which is just Warratina, that's Warratina, lavender.com.au. Warratina lavender.com.au. Warratina Lavender Farm, just up the road here, and they've been doing amazing things and supporting community groups for a very long time. Good on you, Anne-Marie. Well done. We're talking purpose and strategy, Megan. We've been focusing on purpose to start with because it's important to get that right in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we exist for as an organisation. It's why we've set up in the first place, isn't it? And, you know, it's the value that we add to community through the work that we do with our organisation. That's our purpose.
What is the connection then between purpose and strategy? Just join those dots for us, Megan, as we move into the second half of our program.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you know, if we've got this purpose sitting there, how do we actually deploy that? How do we make that happen? How do we ensure that we're actually doing whatever it is that we're set up to do in the first place? So I think this is where strategy is so important. Taking some time out to plan ahead. I mean, strategy is basically just planning, really, isn't it?
It's about thinking,
what do we exist for? What is our purpose and how are we going to deliver on that? And I think sometimes organisations forget that connection there and they just sort of start flurrying around trying to do things on the ground, do things operationally without actually thinking it through and planning ahead. And I think, I bang on about planning all the time. I think that's because the planning is what enables us to sit down and think, how can we be as effective and efficient in the work that we do on the ground? I mean, we've got such limited resources, such limited finances, oftentimes limited volunteers and people resources as well. So given that we're running on the smell of an oily rag, aren't we?
Yes.
You know, we're trying to do the best we can with minimal input. So let's be strategic about that and be as effective as we can be. So doing that planning is how we sort of bridge that gap.
Megan,
thinking about
the word that comes to mind as you're speaking is being intentional, you know, having clear intent on what you're actually doing, yes?
Yeah, I think just sitting around having a good brainstorm about, you know, what are all the great things that we could be doing, what are all our strengths as an organisation, what are our challenges internally that we have to do something about, and, you know, what are the things out in the big wide world, the opportunities out there and the threats. You know, it's the good old traditional SWOT analysis type of a model, which I think, you know, it can feel a bit old school, but I think it works. So it's a simple model. It helps us think about a whole range of different things. And out of that, you know, have a brainstorm using those sort of four pillars. That will give you so much information and so many ideas of what you can potentially do. Then you can start sort of distilling that down and sifting through it and going, okay, well, of all those things, what's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck? You know, what are the positive things that we can move towards to help us most impactfully deliver on our purpose, but equally, what do we need to think about in terms of risks and threats and where are our weaknesses that we need to put some steps in place early? You know, it's that old, what's that saying, a stitch in time saves nine.
We do a little bit of nine or more.
Yeah, it can sort of prevent big problems happening down the track.
Yeah, that's terrific. And when we talk about strategic planning, and I know that's one of your specialty areas, Megan, who needs to be involved in that? I mean, we've spoken previously about volunteers and so on, and many of the organisations of people listening this morning will have members, they'll have volunteers, they might have staff, they may not, their committee and so on. Who needs to be involved in this process?
Look, I think it's important that you at least have your whole board or your whole committee involved. I see too many organisations where one or two people sort of shut themselves away and they develop the plan for the organisation, but it's not necessarily representative of everybody's ideas, and then perhaps other people don't necessarily feel that they've got that ownership and that buy-in to the plan moving forward. So if you can get your entire board or your entire committee there as a start, I think it's worth thinking about, well, if you're fortunate enough to have staff, then who's your head staff person? Is it appropriate for them to come along too? Often it is. I think equally, if you've got key people amongst your membership who do particular jobs for you, think about whether it's appropriate for them to be involved. It might be that if you've got if you're a member-based organisation, if you do a survey or you put a call out for input from your broader membership, they probably wouldn't come along to the actual get-together and the session that you'd have together, but getting their input and their thoughts about what's important. Because at the end of the day, as a committee or a board, we're representing the membership. We've got that stewardship role for the organisation in order to deliver the purpose for the members. So we need to know what the members want so we can deliver on what they want.
Mm-hmm. And Megan, the other word that comes to mind listening to you is around priorities and trying to, and we were just talking about an organisation off air, weren't we, about how much they've got on, how much they're doing, and that this process surely helps to identify, you know, which one do we start with, which one do we do next, which one have we got the resources to do? I mean, resources come into this too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, not just financial resources, could be what assets do we have on the ground to help us do what we need to do, people resources, a whole range of things. So, yeah, making sure that your lofty grand plans, you can back them up with resourcing. And if you can't, how are you going to bring that extra resourcing into the organisation? You know, do you need to perhaps have a membership drive as a starting point to get the people involved or put a call out for volunteers or maybe it's about putting in some applications for grant funding, talking to donors or, you know, local businesses, whoever it might be, who's able to support you in bringing those resources into your organisation so that you can deliver on the strategy that you've put in place.
Mm. So Megan, roll forward. Assume we've had that session and we've identified, you know, we've cemented our purpose and we've got some plans in place. What follows from that? I mean, are we, obviously you mentioned before we have a strategic plan, but what makes it all happen after that? What comes next?
I think, you know, bridging the gap between strategy and action is an important step, and I think a number of organisations miss this step because, you know, the strategic plan or the strategic direction can be quite high level sometimes and, you know, it's a motherhood statement perhaps. So I think it's really important to make sure then you've got some sort of an action plan or an operational plan or whatever you want to call it that looks at the what, the who, the how and the when as to what the little steps are along the way that you're actually going to take to deliver on those high-level lofty goals that you've come up with. Because otherwise, I've seen it happen time and time again, you know, you can have all the strategy in the world, but unless somebody's actually taking responsibility to roll it out, to implement it, to make sure it happens, then, you know, it's worth nothing. You know, you may as well not do it if you're not going to implement it. It's just a waste of time and money.
Wow. You're listening to words of wisdom there from Megan Buntine, my special guest this morning on Community Conversations. Thanks so much, Megan. And if you missed her contact details before, you can send her an email, just, excuse me, megan@mjbconsulting.net.au. If you or your group, your community group, your not-for-profit organisation needs, well, perhaps a nudge, some ideas, a place to start, some strategy, some help with planning, whatever that is, then Megan is the one to contact. And Megan, we must also mention that you host some not-for-profit lunches, don't you, for not-for-profit organisations, mostly small and medium not-for-profits. Am I being too general there? And that's once a month, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's right. And in fact, our topic this quarter is exactly what we're talking about today, purpose and strategy. So once a month, I've got one this afternoon, but that one's booked out. But the next one is on the 5th of May and then on the 9th of June. So we come together for an hour online. It's free. It's for not-for-profit leaders. So in other words, anyone who sits on a board or a committee of management or reports to one, so say the CEO. And we have that topic of conversation where we sort of bounce around ideas with each other. We find out what other people are doing. We talk about how we can build those areas of discussion into our organisations. You know, in this instance, for example, you know, how do we make sure that our purpose is alive and well within our organisation? You know, what are other organisations doing in order to deliver on that? You know, perhaps we can get some ideas from other people about what they're doing to make sure that their strategy is in place and that it marries up with their purpose and helps them deliver on that purpose. So we come together, I mean, it's limited numbers, as you know, and then we break into smaller groups to have that sort of more in-depth discussion. And I think those smaller groups is where the gold is it's a bit like speed dating, I think, for people to come along, because it's a very fast-paced hour. But I think the feedback I'm getting since we started running these sessions late last year when we're all in lockdown, that they're finding it really valuable. And I think, you know, the beauty of the lessons that we've learned over the last 2 years about working more remotely is that we are now connecting with people from all over the country, you know, people who we would never have had the opportunity to talk to. And, you know, as you know, in recent sessions, we've had people from every state and territory across the country involved in these online sessions that I've been running. So it's been fantastic from that.
Certainly has, Megan. I've had the pleasure of being involved myself, and they really have been great. And I'm talking purpose and strategy with Megan Buntine this morning on Community Conversations. We've talked about the importance of having purpose and being clear on what that is, and then having a strategy to get there, to implement, to plan. And Megan, without that, many community groups really struggle. I'm just wondering for listeners whether we could give between us, without having pre-planned this, whether we could share a couple of examples of groups that really do have a clear purpose and get on with it and implement that purpose. I was thinking, just for myself, I was thinking, well, Toastmasters is a bit like that. You know, people have it has a clear purpose to improve people's public speaking, their confidence in front of a group of people, and they stick pretty faithfully to that purpose, you know. And I know you've been involved in Toastmasters in the past too, Megan. So would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think about too another organisation that I worked with just on Saturday, and they're a rural cemetery trust. So, you know, their purpose is pretty clear. It's about providing the opportunity for people to have internment. I'll struggle with that word. Services.
Yes.
And you know, that's what they do. That's what they exist for, and it's really clear. So I think that they're probably a really good example of an organisation that would never suffer from mission drift. We talk about that, you know, mission, that idea of we sort of drift away from our mission. Well, it's the same with our purpose, you know, purpose drift. I think, you know, they're always going to be helping people with that sort of a service.
Yes, yes. Another one that comes to mind is the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater that were on air just 2 weeks ago, and they are incredibly focused, very purposeful in terms of creating the environment that is going to allow the helmeted honey eater, our state emblem, to survive and to grow from nearly a point of extinction, Megan.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good example of an organisation that their purpose is almost spelt out in their name, isn't it?
Yes, actually.
You know, as soon as you hear the name of that organisation, you know what they're about, you know what they're trying to achieve. So I think that's, you know, something to, if we can, when we're setting up organisations, if we can think in a way like that, that can be helpful too, to keep us focused on what that purpose is going forward.
Yes. And Megan, what about reviewing? You mentioned earlier on in the program that for incorporated organisations, their purpose is in their rules, and that can be changed along the way. But what about more generally? Can those purposes, do they sometimes need to change, and can they be changed in a group, or is it a matter of winding up the group and starting another one, or how does that work in your experience?
Yeah, look, I think it you don't have to wind up. It's just a case of going through a process of if perhaps, say, you've delivered on your purpose and that's all ticking away beautifully. Excuse me, all you've got to, and you're just in a maintenance phase, you might decide that there's a new aspect to what you've done in the past that you want to focus on instead. So perhaps you craft up a new statement of purpose that better reflects what you're now focusing on, what you're now doing. Then obviously you need to go through a process to make sure you've done that in a way that's consistent with the legal requirements. So your rules will tell you how to go about changing your purpose. You know, you've got to put it to your members. There's got to be appropriate numbers of people in attendance, and then an appropriate percentage of those people in attendance need to approve the change of purpose. So then finally you need to lodge that with the appropriate body, whether that's with Consumer Affairs Victoria or whether that's with the Australian Charities Not-for-Profit Commission. So there is a legal process that you need to go through, but it's not to say that you can't do it. It still certainly can still do it. And I think that it's worthwhile going back to your purpose periodically. I encourage organisations to do it when we do a strategic planning, start of a new strategic planning cycle. So whether that's 3 yearly or 5 yearly, it's a good trigger point to go back and look at, well, does our purpose still fit what we're doing and what our aims and objectives are? And if not, then let's have a bit of a review there. Let's think about going through that process and updating that.
You're with Bruce Argyle. We're rapidly running out of time on our Community Conversations program this morning. My very special guest has been Megan Buntine, all the way from Beechworth on the road. Thank you for zooming in, Megan. And we've been talking purpose and strategy. And I'm just thinking, for reinforcement for all of us and for perhaps listeners who have only just joined us, you've missed out, listeners, but don't go away. A quick overview then of the key points, Megan, just to wrap up before the 10 o'clock news?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, if we go back to strategy, why is this stuff so important? I think that's a good place to end on. So at the end of the day, it's what strategy is what helps us to deliver on our purpose that we spent the first half of the show talking about. Strategy really propels us forward in that direction. It helps us to be really intentional about what we're doing. It helps us to work towards our organisation's purpose in a really planned way. So we're thinking through what's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck in what we do with our limited resources. Having strategy enables us to be more efficient and more effective. It encourages us to be really future focused. So we're not just worrying about the day-to-day, what's currently coming up for us now, but we're thinking ahead and we are planning for the future. It enables us to think in advance and make the most out of our resources. It helps us to get more people contributing to the direction the organisation takes. So mentioned before about who do you get involved in that process and getting input from others other than just the board or the committee. So is it your members? Is it
all stakeholders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Is it your staff if you have staff? So I think we can ensure all the relevant stakeholders are included in shaping the direction of the organisation that way. It helps us to identify potential new opportunities and risks. I think, you know, I talked before about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, the old SWOT approach. I think that's a really good starting point for a brainstorming session about what are, you know, if we had unlimited resources, let's just have a big brain dump about what we could potentially be doing and then use that as a starting point to distill down and come up with what are the things that are going to be the most impactful, to set those priorities, to identify what's most important. Having that strategic approach can also help us reduce any uncertainty around what we're supposed to be doing. So constantly thinking when we're doing our strategy, it's all got to come back to the purpose. The purpose has to be at the centre of everything that we do. And whether you put that on the, you know, on the front of your website, on the front of your brochures, wherever you put it, it's going to, people are going to see it, it's going to resonate with people. I think having that strategy in place, also you touched on this earlier, makes monitoring and evaluation along the way easier. If we've got that strategy documented, that plan documented, it gives us a tool to go back to and measure against, well, okay, we set a goal or a date that we're going to have so and so, such and such done by this time. Have we done that, or if not, why not? And unpacking some of that stuff. And I think, look, at the end of the day, success in whatever we do is more likely if we have that strategy, that plan in place. The old saying that comes back again and again, isn't it, about, you know, we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan, and I think that's such a truism.
Certainly is. And Megan, let's not beat ourselves up either. We don't get it right all the time, do we? We do slip up. We don't get everything right.
Absolutely. But yeah, look, I think in all the planning work that I've done, I don't think I've seen one organisation that ticked off 100% of its plan. Because that's the other thing too, you know, we tend to, let's build a bit of stretch into, you know, a bit of ambition into the plans and the strategy that we have. Give ourselves some ambitious goals to strive forward. So, you know, if we don't meet them 100%, if we only meet them 80%, well, that's okay. We've still got that 80% of achievement there working towards our overall purpose.
Which is 80% more than what we would have done if we hadn't started at all.
Absolutely.
Yes. Megan, we are out of time, but can I, on behalf of listeners, on behalf of Yarra Valley FM 99.1, just a big thank you for making yourself available on the road in Beechworth, on the way north. Safe travels, and look forward to your company again soon, very soon.
Thank you. It's been great to talk to you again.
Terrific. And listeners, we'll be back same time next week. My very special guest will be Nicole Slingsby. We're going to be talking wills and trusts and estates and, wow, more planning in that very important area. So please join us again next Thursday at 9 o'clock.